Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Mem Tes. We are on the very bottom of Mem Ches Amud Beis. We're starting this morning with the words Ashkecha and Shechita Ba'olah LaMitzvah. Okay, we started the fifth parak of Zvachim just a couple days ago on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. And Ezim Makom Moshel Zvachim, a parak that we're familiar with. We see it in davening. For those who say Karbanos. The Mishnayos here are talking about procedure of a karban, where the karbans are to be shechted. And the basic rule of the first Mishnah is that if it falls under the category of kashe kadashim, so it's shechted up in the north. In fact, seemingly, as we already pointed out, it seems to be one of the defining points of kashe kadashim, that a karban that falls under the category of kashe kadashim and has a higher level of kedusha, and as part of that, so it's going to be shechted in the north side of the Azara. Exactly what is north considered in terms of the Azar, we have already gone over a couple of times. Earlier in the Masechta, that's a machlokus between Tanayim, whether it's the part directly above the Mizbech, or maybe to the northwest, or maybe also to even include the northeast as well. But in any event, so Kashe Kedoshim is to be shechted in the north. How do I know that? So primarily I know that by the Karban Olah. The Torah by Karban Olah says it straight out. As we already pointed out in yesterday's daf, the Torah by Karban Olah says that Yishecht v'shachar asol yach mizbech safona. Yishecht on the side of the mizbech, on the north side of the mizbech. So, with clarity, the Torah says by the carbon ola, it's to be shecht in the north. How do we know it by carbon chata? So we learned it from carbon ola, and that's what we went over yesterday. A good part of yesterday's daf was to establish that the carbon chata too is to be shecht in the north, and the Torah, although does not explicitly spell out that the carbon chatas is shecht in the north, but the Torah does say that the carbon chatas is shecht in the same place as the carbon ola, so it's pretty clear from the Torah as well. Although the Gemara described it yesterday more like a hekesh, meaning it's more because we're comparing a chatas to an ola, and since we know the ola is shecht in the north, so therefore the chatas is shecht in the north as well. What we're going to be trying to do in the beginning of today's daf is answer the following question. In order for an avoda to be not only important but critical, essential, so the Torah has to repeat it. There are other clues that the Torah gives in terms of being essential, but one of the tools that we keep using and reusing again is this idea of Shina HaKasav La'akev, that the Torah has to repeat something in order to teach us that it is essential. And if I do not do it, so it disqualifies the Korban. This halacha of Tzafon, of shechting in the north, where the animal has to be in the north, and the Kabbalah Saddam has to be in the north, and the Mekabel has to be in the north. By the way, we pointed out yesterday that the Shochet himself doesn't have to be in the north. Shochet could be standing somewhere else. Shochet could be in the south. Presumably, Shochet can even be outside of the Azara. But these halachas of Tzafon, they're essential, they're critical halachas. How do I know they're critical? So I need repetition. So by the Karban Olah, the Torah mentions it once. Well, that's good. But that doesn't tell us the critical nature of this halacha. So it needs repetition. So where do I have the repetition? And that's where we're beginning with this morning. We're trying to learn where the Torah repeats itself regarding this requirement to Tzafon by a Karban Olah. So in the Gemara itself, we find ourselves towards the bottom of the Amud, about 7 lines from the bottom. Ashkechan Shechita Ba'olah LaMitzvah. I know that Shechita by Karban Olah is LaMitzvah. However, Kabbalah Nami LaMitzvah, and I also know that the Kabbalah also in the north is LaMitzvah. Meaning, so it is, you're fulfilling a mitzvah in doing so. But how do I know that it's critical? Ashkechan Shechita V'Kabbalah La'akev Minalan. But where are we going to find that it's li'ikuva, meaning where do we find the repetition in the Torah? So it is going to be a little bit of a struggle because the Torah does not explicitly repeat itself that it has to be done in the north. And so therefore the question over here is a simple question, straightforward question. So where do I find the repetition? So without the Torah now explicitly repeating, so now what the Gemara is going to suggest is that we're going to learn it out based on an argument, on a kavachomer argument. How does the argument work? So here's the argument. It's a pretty sound argument. Look, the chatas is derived from the ola. Now we know by the carbon chatas that it is critical, it's essential. Go back to yesterday's daf. Meaning we established in yesterday's daf that the chatas, the Torah repeats itself by carbon chatas, telling us that this north requirement is a critical requirement when it comes to the carbon chatas. So now, if the chatas is a derivative halacha being learned from Ola, and the chatas is critical, so then the Ola's got to be critical as well. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, you're learning it based on the Kavachomer, but Malachatas Shekei Mechaper Tzachai V'Krisos. But wait 1 second, the chatas obviously accomplishes something that the Ola does not accomplish. The chatas provides kapara for Isuri Kares. and the Ola does not provide kapara for Yisuri Karis. It may provide kapara for Bittul Aseh, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta, but it's not providing kapara for Yisuri Karis. So how can I learn a halacha from a carbon chatzis to a carbon Ola, when meanwhile the functionality of a carbon chatzis obviously is very different? Am Ravina, just give me a second. Am Ravina hakasha le Rav Ada Bar Ava. So he says, no. This is what the difficulty was for Rav Ada Bar Ava. Klumatzinu tafel chamor min ikar. In other words, it's unprecedented. It would simply be unprecedented where the tafel, the derivative, is going to be more stringent than the ikar, than the essential, or the original. Meaning this requirement of north, where do I originally find in the Torah by Carbonola? Meaning that's the ikar. The chatas is a tafel. It's a derivative, meaning it's because the Torah says, you know, we shach the chatas, same place we shach the ola. So now, we will get to an unprecedented point in halacha where the carbon chatas is essential. I must do it in the north. And I'm learning it because the Torah compares it to a carbon ola. So the ola now being the ikar. And the ola now is not critically have to be done in the north. And now it comes out that the tafel is going to be less than, I'm sorry, I should say better. The tafel is going to be greater than that of the ikar. Gemara says it just simply would be unprecedented. Yeah, Ben.
Why, instead of saying this concept, why don't you say the ain't onish min adin? Instead of, you know.
There's no onish over here.
No, but there's an onish of karet if you.
For what?
If you don't do it, if you don't do the shkita for a korban ola north, right?
No, it's not going to be a certain.
It doesn't work.
It just doesn't work. That's all. So Amalei Mazrucha Bereidu Rav Mari LaRavina Velo. And so now the Gemara wants to test this theory. So we have a theory out there that when you have an ikar and you have a tafel, so the ikar can't be greater. Or again, I said it again. The tafel can't be any more chamer than the ikar. It can't be. So the Gemara says, is that true? So the Gemara says, let's see if this plays out. V'harei, and we're going to go over three different areas of halacha where seemingly it's not true. Meaning it comes out that the tafel is going to be more chamor, it's going to be more stringent than the actual source halacha. So let's try number one. Harei, we're on the very top of Mem Tesamad Aleph. Harei, Meiser Duhu Nifte. Now, a Meiser, we're talking about Meiser Sheni. Right? On the first, second, fourth, fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, your second 10% is Meiser Sheni, and that means that it has Kedusha. You sanctify it, you set it aside, it has Kedusha, it's to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten in Yerushalayim. And obviously that is going to be a bit onerous, as that's 10% of your produce, meaning not the part that's onerous is not that's 10%, but in other words, you're going to have to schlep all of that to Yerushalayim every single time you're harvesting. So what the Torah allows us to do is the Torah allows us to transfer the Kedusha onto money, bring the money into Yerushalayim, and spend the money on food in Yerushalayim. That food that I buy in Yerushalayim is going to have the Kedusha of Meiser Sheni. So there's the original Meiser Sheni, and then there's Lakuach. In other words, then there's Kesef Meiser Sheni brought into Yerushalayim, purchased on food. That food now also has Kedushas Meiser Sheni, but in other words, as a derivative. So here we have the setup of the original Meiser Sheni and the derivative Meiser Sheni. The original Meiser Sheni can be redeemed. Meaning, if the original Meiser Sheni becomes, why would I want to redeem it? Let's say it becomes Tameh. Rashi points out it can even become Tameh in Yerushalayim. You have the right, we have the ability to be Podem Meiser Sheni if it becomes Tameh. Meanwhile, here comes the halacha. Ve'ilu lakuch bekesef Meiser Sheni u'nifta. However, if I get to derivative Meiser Sheni, again, derivative Meiser Sheni means I transfer the Kedusha from the original Meiser Sheni to money. I use the money in Yerushalayim to buy produce. That produce has Kedusha's Meiser Sheni, but it's called lakuch. Lakuch bekesef Meiser Shenitma. And what happens now if this produce becomes Tameh? So according to the Tanakama Yifta, you could just simply redeem it like the original Meiser Sheni. That's good. But according to Rav Yehuda Amar Yikaver, Rav Yehuda says, no, it's to be buried. Meaning it's unredeemable. So now we have a derivative Meiser Sheni, which turns out to be more chamor than the original. And you were saying earlier that can't be. It's unprecedented.
That's according to Rav Yehuda only.
Agreed. Agreed. Agreed.
The Gemara
is just saying, how could you say it's unprecedented? It's not unprecedented. So Rav Yehuda would say it is precedented. You're right, though. In other words, the question is only for Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Hasam lo alima kedusha asai lamitfes pijona. So the Gemara says, no, you're really looking at it wrong, meaning the reason why lakuch kesem meiser sheni cannot be redeemed, it's not because we're being more chamra, we're not treating it with more chamra. In fact, it's just the opposite. You see, here's what happens. When I have the original Maaser Sheni, the Kedusha there is strong. Strong manifestation of the Kedusha, which is transferable. The Kedusha is transferable. So the and you could take the Kedusha and move it to money, and if it's if the original Maaser Sheni becomes Tamei, you could be Podet. But once you get to the point of, I transferred the Kedusha to money, I took the money and I bought food with that money, so now that Kedusha is a weaker Kedusha. With weaker Kedusha, it becomes less transferable. Right? Think of currency, meaning if it's a strong currency, you can easily transfer the money, can easily exchange the money. If it's a weak currency, or let's say it's some fake money you get at those at the arcades, right? In other words, if it's a weaker version, you're going to have a hard time exchanging it. In fact, you get to the point where, you know, some of them tell you no exchanges. No redemption. So in other words, the reason why it can't be poded simply is because, not because we're treating it with more chumra, simply because the Kedusha now is a shadow of what it was originally, and therefore it's just simply not transferable. So the Gemara says that's not a good example. The Gemara says, how about this? Tamura. Vare Tamura.
What did Rabbi say about this idea? Rabbi Yehuda puts forward that there is a lesser kedusha.
All right.
So what about
the Chachamim will tell you that the kedusha maintains. I mean, in this, in the way, that would seemingly
it's not a lesser kedusha. It's not a lesser money.
That would seemingly be the Chachamim's position. Okay, agreed. Vare Tamura, the Gemara says, what about Tamura? Now the ilu kashim lo chayla ba mum kavua, meaning let's go to an animal where it has no kedusha whatsoever, and it has a physical blemish on it, and a person is makdish such an animal. It's not going to get Kedusha Zaguf. It won't get intrinsic sanctity. It'll get Kedusha Zaman, but it won't get Kedusha Zaguf. And the reason is very simple. In other words, because it has a mum, and because the mum was there before you were makdish it, so therefore, it's not that it's a mistake, it just simply can't be offered as a carbon. I misheard you. So you're right. In other words, it's not there. In other words, it's not there to receive the Kedusha Zaguf, but it will receive Kedusha Zaman. Fine. And so that means then that when it's sold, the Kedusha is totally gone. There is no residual Kedusha on the animal whatsoever. Fine. Meanwhile, by Tamura, here comes the halacha by Tamura. We're going to see this a lot when we get to Masechta Tamura, but we'll say it again now. When a person attempts to do Tamura now, he shouldn't because the Torah says not to. But when a person does Tamura, taking an animal that already has Kedusha, it's Kedusha's carbon, and transferring it to another animal. If he transfers it to another animal that has a blemish, that second animal will have Kedusha's aguf. We'll have Kedusha Zaguf. Now, of course, it has a physical blemish on it, which means that you can't offer it as a carbon, which means that you're going to redeem it, but it has residual Kedusha, because it had Kedusha Zaguf. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Isn't this strange? Where if I have the original animal that has a blemish, and I try to be makdish it, I can imbue it with Kedusha Zaguf, and meanwhile, when I have a derivative, meaning Tamura, so it could receive Kedusha Zaguf. So Gemara says, and you're telling me that as it's unprecedented that we can't be more stringent with the derivative than we are with the original? Here's a good example. The Gemara says it's not a good example. So the Tamura mikolach kashim ka'asi, v'kashim mikolach chulin ka'asi. So the Gemara says no, because once again, the Gemara says you're looking at it wrong. When you are trying to generate kedusha from an animal that has no kedusha whatsoever, in other words, a chulin animal, so there you're starting from zero. You're starting from zero and you're now trying to give a Kedusha, but it has a blemish already. It just simply can't get to the point of Kedusha Zaguf. Meaning, we are trying to jumpstart the Kedusha, but it has a blemish. It can't get to Kedusha Zaguf. Fine. But when we're dealing with Tamura, that exchange that occurs between animal A and animal B, in other words, we already started from a point of Kedusha Zaguf. Meaning, animal A already has Kedusha Zaguf. And this is just simply an extension of that Kedusha. So in other words, we're not going from zero to Kedusha. We're going from something that already has Kedusha and just simply extending the Kedusha. So there, if I'm extending the Kedusha, even though the second animal is already a blemished animal, but still I'm not bringing Kedusha into it from nothing. I'm simply extending it from an animal that already has Kedusha. Therefore, it will take to that second animal by Tamura. So the Gemara says, fine. So Vahari Pesach, how about the following? Pesach, do einotano smicha nesachem tenufa chazav ashok, meaning karm pesach. Even though we say pretty often that's like a karm shlamim, but it's a much milder version of a karm shlamim. Meaning by karm pesach, there is no requirement of doing smicha to the animal. Libations don't come along with it. There's no waving of the arm and the chest of the animal. In other words, these are regular basic requirements by karm shlamim, which is not required by karm pesach. However, ilum. Let's say Pesach comes and goes, and for whatever reason, my carbon Pesach was not brought up that year as a carbon Pesach. So what can we do with it? We've already discussed this many times earlier. And then you bring it as a shlamim. So in other words, when I take my carbon Pesach post Yudala Nisan and offer it up as regular shlamim, therefore, at that point in time, what's going to happen? It's going to require all the basic shlamim requirements. And meanwhile, the residual carbon Pesach, meaning the shlamim, is going to require all the basic shlamim requirements. So once again, now what do we see? Again, this is now the third attempt of the Gemara to show you that we can be more strict with the derivative than we are going to be with the original. To which the Gemara says, no. Pesach b'shoyim osashana shlamim hu. Once again, the Gemara says, you're looking at it wrong, and let me help you look at it correctly. The carbon Pesach, after Pesach is over, after Yudala Nisan, even though we'll say it's called a residual Pesach, but really fundamentally it's a carbon shlamim, meaning it is a carbon shlamim. Don't look at it as a residual of a carbon Pesach, a derivative of a carbon Pesach. That's not true. It really is fundamentally a carbon shlamim, which I guess, by the way, meaning if I just take this one step further, meaning at the point where you're makdish the carbon as a carbon Pesach, meaning latent in that kedusha really is, I'm really being makdish it as a carbon shlamim. I don't think the person has to say all this. I'm just thinking this through. You're really being makdish it as a carbon shlamim. Within carbon shlamim, you're also being makdish it as a subset of a carbon Pesach. But if Pesach comes and goes, and I no longer need a carbon Pesach, it reverts back to it being a carbon shlamim.
It lost its status.
Okay, right. And so therefore, the Gemara says, don't look at it as a derivative, and therefore the question once again falls away. Okay, so where are we right now in the Gemara? We are now asking the question by carbon ola, how do I know by carbon ola that shechting in the north is essential? The Torah said it once, but the Torah only said it once, and we need twice in order for it to be essential. So one point the Gemara tried to make is that, well, by carbon chatzis we know it's essential, and chatzis was learned from ola, and if you're telling me that by ola it's not essential, we get to an unprecedented point in halacha where the source is going to be weaker than the actual derivative. The derivative, meaning carbon chatzis, is essential to shecht in the north, and meanwhile the ikaron, the ikar, is not essential, it's unprecedented. So it's an argument. It's an argument that you can make. We'll call it kal v'chomer. But in other words, that's one approach. The Gemara gives a second approach. And then for the last 10-15 minutes of Gemara, we've been trying to test that theory, whether or not it's unprecedented or whether there may be some precedent for that. Give me one second. Ibai Seima, the Gemara says, or the Gemara says, let's make another suggestion, which is Amakra ha'olam, bimkoma tehe. So the Gemara says, maybe also what we could do is we can go back to the psukim by the carbon ola, and basically decode from the word ha'olah that this is really your second mention. Now, admittedly, it's not straightforward, meaning the Torah does not say it straight out, that you have to shecht in the north a second time. But by virtue of the fact that the Torah says the words ha'olah, and Rashi writes over here, dechsiba makom ha'olah, chazer v'shina limed makom shekavaso la'olah. In other words, the Torah goes on to repeat the word makom, ha'olah, the place of the olah. Granted, it doesn't say north, but it mentions place a second time. So, la'olam hu mikoma, meaning north has to be the place. Okay, so it's not a clear-cut repetition, and not as clear-cut as perhaps we'd like it to be. But in other words, it's enough of a repetition of place to tell us that makom would be essential. And that's your second approach of the Gemara. That's your second answer of the Gemara. How do I know that's essential by the olah? Yes, Eddie?
Going back to the concept of shalamim, Pesach becomes shalamim. Shalamim has a higher kedusha or not?
It's
because you cannot go from higher kedusha to lower kedusha. How can we change shalamim status to Pesach when shalamim has
they're essentially
requirements and we don't do the requirements?
They're really. In other words, the Pesach is a shalamim, but not as many requirements as a carbon shalamim. But at the same time, whatever. In other words, you can compare. But categorically, the easiest way to look at it, probably correct, is that it's shalamim. Meaning a Pesach is like a carbon shlamim, eaten throughout all of Yerushalayim, like a carbon shlamim. But they're right. In other words, not.
Why are we able to subtract those requirements?
We don't do anything. In other words, that's just simply based on Joshua's Chazal. Okay. All right. Brings us now up to carbon asham, and right, the Gemara here is going to be meticulous. We did this in the beginning of the Masechta regarding Shinui Kodesh, Shinui Bailim, where we went through every carbon, just meticulous. And the Gemara is going to do the same thing over here. Meaning, so far what we've established over the course of yesterday's daf and today's daf is that a chatzis has to be done b'tzofen, that's essential. An ola has to be done b'tzofen, that's essential. And so now we move on to karban asham, right? This is going to be our last of the kashay kadashim, right? In terms of animals. So, right, chatzis, ola, and asham. So, asham. Where, how do I know asham? So the Gemara starts off like this. Asham, minalan, debay tzofen, dechsev. Be'makam asher yishchetu asa ola, yishchetu asa asham. Okay, good. So you have a pasuk in Parshat Tzav that says very clearly that the same place you shech the carbon ola, that's where you're going to be shechting the carbon asham. Okay, good. And as we now know, so that's once in the Torah. That's good. But that's not good enough. In other words, we need a second time in the Torah because we need essentiality, if that's a word. So asher chan shechita kabbalah minalan, well, even before we get to that point. In other words, so far we have shechita being done in the north. What about kabbalah sadam? The es damo yizrok. So kibol dama nami b'tzafon. So good. So the Torah says that you sprinkle the blood, and the word yizrok over here, even though it means sprinkle, but the Gemara is understanding it in the context of first accepting it in order to sprinkle. So that means kabbalas adam. Mekabel atzma minalan. What about the mekabel, the Kohen standing there accepting the blood? How do we know that he has to be in the north? So damo v'es damo. So the ribui of s, right? The s always comes to include something. Here it's coming to include the mekabel himself. Wonderful. Ashkechan lemitzvah la'akiv minalan. So now I know that it is strongly recommended, the Torah strongly recommends that we shecht in the north. I mean, it's a mitzvah. But how do I know le'ikuva? Kra'achrinaksiv. So the Gemara says, here's where the repetition comes about. It comes about in Parshas Mitzora. Now, here we are in the 14th parak of Vayikra, and the Torah gives us the entire procedure of Taharas and Mitzora. After a 8-day process, which I'm just going to bypass, so on day 8, so the Mitzorah has to bring 3 karbanos. I know we've discussed this a lot lately, but we're back to the Taharas HaMitzorah. So he's going to bring 3 karbanos. Of the 3 karbanos that he's going to bring a karban asham. He's bringing a chatos, an asham, and an ola. So he's going to bring a karban asham. And this karban asham is going to be shechted. I'm now in the Torah. The v'shachar is the keves b'makam asher yishchatas hachatas v'esola. The Torah says regarding the keves, keves is the asham karban of the Mitzorah, shecht in the same place as that of the chatos and that of the ola. Bimkoma Kodesh, and Makam Kodesh. So the Torah doesn't say north. It's so funny. It's so interesting. The Torah, in other words, keeps referring us back to the Karban Ola, and there it mentions one time in the north. So it's almost as if the Torah is kind of like avoiding saying the word north.
And here there are allusions to north.
Right. And later in the daf today, the Gemara is going to wonder why it has to be two, meaning Ola would be sufficient. So Bimakam Asher Yishchatas Hachatas V'Esola Bimakam Kodesh. Ki kachatas ha'asham hu la'kohen. The asham is like the chatas in that it's going to go to the kohen. Kodesh kadashim hu. And then the Torah says it falls into the category of kodesh kadashim. By the way, just another general observation. In other words, another argument the Gemara does not make is that, well, once we put it into the category of kodesh kadashim, therefore it's in the north. Which, by the way, is true. Meaning, as I mentioned at the beginning of the parak, right. In other words, one of the basic definitions of Kodesh Kadashim is Shech in the north. And meanwhile, the Gemara spent a lot of time going over, how do I know the Chatas? How do I know the Ola? How do I know the Asham? And clearly the Gemara is not using the argument of, well, it's Kodesh Kadashim, therefore it's in the north. So, right. It's another thing the Gemara does not mention. But anyway, so here you have the repetition, right? And that should be good. So the Gemara says Ashkechal mitzvah la'akev minalan krachrin eksiv v'shachadas akeves, etc. etc. Meaning we just went through the pasuk together. Okay, and so it should be an open and shut case. How do I know that there's an essential nature of shechting the karban asham in the north? The answer seems to be Torah says it once in Parshat Tzav. Torah repeats it again by the Mitzorah, by the asham of the Mitzorah. Good. And the Gemara says it's not good, and I'll tell you why it's not good, because the pasuk in Parshat Mitzorah is there to accomplish a different goal. And what we're going to be learning for basically the remainder of today's daf is that, right, Yudgimel Midah Shatar Nezreshas Behem, we're going to go over Midah number 11, right? It doesn't come up that often throughout the Gemara. And we're going to learn together that the Pasuk over here is really addressing an entirely different purpose, a different point altogether, and maybe cannot be used to make our point of essentiality. So the Gemara says, well, consider. V'hai, l'hachi udasa hami b'ayla l'chedetanya. I need it for the following, and that is as follows. So here we're going over now Midah number 11, right? Like I said earlier this morning, the fifth parak of Zvach Mishnayos is part of the Karbanos section. And the end of the Karbanos section, we say the Brisa Rabbi Shmuel. The Brisa Rabbi Shmuel goes over the 13 Midah Shatar Nedreshes Bahem, right? And it starts off with the basics, the ones that we see time and again throughout Shas, Gezeira Shava, Binyanav, Kalvachomer, Klaluprat, Klaluprat Uklal. So those are the quote unquote the more popular ones. And then as you get towards the end of the list, so then they are rules, they're basic rules, but quite frankly, don't have a lot of popularity. They just don't come up that often in the Gemara. So here's rule number 11. Rule number 11, let me say it outside first, and then we'll say it inside. Rule number 11 is, let's say the Torah is addressing something which is it goes against the grain. It's really unusual. And when I say unusual, meaning, what is unusual? Meaning, you know, you could say anything's unusual. Meaning the Torah already established a certain pattern of the way the thing is done. And then on another occasion, the Torah says, well, we're going to do it this way this time. It's going to be a little bit off than the way we presented it earlier. And so therefore, it's a davar chadash. And so now that the Torah gives us a method in which it's going to be slightly unusual, a davar chadash, so now I would thought, so this bucks the trend. So basically, for this new entity, it doesn't follow the old rules. And what we're learning in rule number 11 is that would be true unless the Torah tells us, hey, you know what? Put this back contextually to where it belongs. In other words, let it follow the general rules with this new entity as part of it. Okay, good. As an abstract, it's really hard to see, but let's now see it. Let's see it as an example. Okay, so here we go. Davar shehaya b'chlal. So in other words, we have a general rule. The Torah provides for us a general rule. V'yasal nadam b'davar chadash, and then the Torah gives us a novel point. Iyatara shelach zero l'chlalo ad shiach zirenu hakasov l'chlalo b'feirush. You can't bring it back to the general rule until the Torah says, hey, take it and bring it back to its general rule. So, okay, good. So you see it now in the abstract, but it's abstract. So let's see it as a practical, let's see a practical example. Ketzad. So here's a practical example, and of course a practical example is going to be Asher Mitzora. And it goes like this. V'shachadas ha-kevus b'makam asher yishchadas ha-chatas v'asolah b'makam ha-kodesh. Ki kachatas ha-asham hu. Etc. She'ein tamalam kachatas ha-asham. Meaning, the end of that pasuk over there, why did the Torah have to go out of its way to say, you know, we're going to treat this Hashem like a chatas? Meaning, of course, matal amar kechatas Hashem. What would be the point over there? Lefi shiyatza Hashem etzara lidom b'davar chadash. Because when it comes to the Hashem etzara, the Torah is going to tell us to do something which is really strange. And again, I say strange, I mean in the context of what the Torah normally tells us. When you shech the carbon Hashem normally, what happens? You take the blood, you collect it in the bowl, you go to the mizbech, and you sprinkle the blood on the mizbech. That's normal. That's what normally happens with the carbon hashem, as is the case with a chatas and an ola and a shlamim, and that's normally the case with every carbon. And here by the Asher Metzora, as we already learned just a couple days ago, some of the blood is going to be collected by the kohen, meaning in his hand, and then the kohen is going to take that blood that's in his hand and then apply it to the Metzora, applying it to his ear and to his thumb and to his toe. Now, in of itself, by the way, I mean, I could tell you that sounds unusual. But in other words, but it is unusual in the sense of, we don't have this by any other carbon. We don't have this by any other carbon asham. This is totally unprecedented. It's davar chadash. And so therefore, lidom b'davar chadash b'bon yad b'bon regal v'ozen yamanis yachol lo yehei ton ma'an damim v'imurm legabe mizbeach. So now that I see that the sprinkling of some of the blood of the carbon asham is going to go directly to the body of the Mitzara, his ear, his toe, his thumb. So therefore, I can make the argument, well, if this is such a highly unusual carbon, so you're not going to take the rest of the blood and sprinkle on the Mizbeach, meaning we're not going to do with this carbon what we normally do with a carbon because of Davar Chadash, because this is a novel idea of taking some of the blood and applying it directly to the Mitzara. So Tamud Lomer Kechatas HaShamhu. Ma Chatas Tuna Matan Damin V'Yimur Legabe Mizbeach, Af HaSham Mitzara Tan Matan Damin V'Yimur Legabe Mizbeach. That's why the Torah has to reintroduce it back into the regular world of Karbanos to tell us, I know there's something new and novel regarding the Asher Mitzora, but you know what? That's it. Meaning, that's new and it's novel, but in terms of the other rules, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to the regular rules of Karbanos, and you're going to be taking the other parts of the blood and sprinkling on the Mizbeach. You're going to be taking the Emor and putting on the top of the Mizbeach. We're treating it like a regular carbon, despite the fact there's something new and novel. And so that's rule number 11. Rule number 11 is, when do we bring it back to the regular rules? Only when the Torah brings it back. So now, we ask the question, why does the Torah repeat itself by the Asher Mitzora? Is it for the purpose of essentiality? Well, the problem, of course, is, no, it's not for that purpose. It actually, we now know there's a purpose of the Torah telling us that the Asher is going to be treated like the Chatas, because the Torah has to bring it back to the regular rules of Karban. So the Gemara says, "Im came." I'm sorry, "Vimur lagabe mizbech." So at this point in time, we're a little bit stuck because I need the pasuk to repeat itself for essentiality, like we did by the Chazas, like we did by the Ola. But at the other hand, on the other hand, we also need it to comply with rule number 11 of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrashos Bahem. So can we double dip? And what the Gemara is now going to try to suggest is, well, let's double dip. Let's use the pasuk for both purposes, for both reinstating it back into the regular rules of Karbanos, and for the purposes of repetition for essentiality. And that's what the Gemara is going to try to do. The Gemara says, Imke nechta b'hai v'lo nechta b'hai. So the Gemara says, okay, so why can't it just say it one time and not two times? The fact that it says it two times, so let's allow now both points to present themselves. One, essentiality based on repetition, and two, the Torah is saying it by the Asham to, in order to reinstate it back into the regular rules of Karbanos. Hanicha, the Gemara says, yeah, but whether we can do that or not is a machlokas. Hanicha yisver lan yasali dam b'davar chadash, iyudo lo gamer mechlalov. In other words, if the Torah is telling us something which is novel, a davar chadash, so as far as that, obviously it's a davar chadash, meaning you can't learn from that point. Meaning there's not going to be any other carbon where you're going to take the blood and apply it to the owner of the carbon. Fine. But aval, top of memtesam and base, klalo gamer minei. But in terms of the general point that's being made, maybe we could learn from there. Meaning, what right now what the Gemara is presenting is that one side of the argument would be, sure, we could double dip. Meaning, on the general point that the Asher Mitzorah is going to be treated like a regular carbon, meaning carbon chatas or carbon ola, so good. So in other words, and on top of that, it's also reinstating it back into the world of regular carbon, it's also good. So in other words, maybe we could double dip. So the Gemara says, Ela Isri Olanda lo hu gamar michlalo velo klalo gamar minei halagufa itztarech. But the Gemara says, but I'll tell you this, however. There is another opinion. Now, by the way, the Gemara doesn't tell us where this machlokas can be found. The Gemara just assumes that we know that it's a machlokas. But there is another opinion that says that, no. That once the entire purpose of the pasuk by Asher Mitzorah is there to reinstate it back into the regular rules of carbon, meaning to basically comply with the 11th rule of Rabbi Shmuel. So now that's it. I can't use it to teach me anything else. I can't use it to teach me repetition. And if you subscribe to that viewpoint, so then we are a little bit stuck. Where do we see the second mention by the Karban Hashem that it must be Shechta in the north? So the Gemara's suggestion over here is Kevin da Ahadre Ahadre. Now Kevin da Ahadre Ahadre literally means, well, once the Torah has brought it back, it's brought back. Now what exactly that means, it's a little bit unclear. In other words, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Kevin da Ahadre v'chule, short Rashi, Uksiv ki kachatas Hashem hu kidin chatas kach din Hashem. Meaning, you're right. Fundamentally, of course, the Torah is telling us over here that I know the Asher Mitzorah is unusual. I know it is. Sprinkling the blood on the body of the Mitzorah, that's unusual. Unprecedented. It's a Davar Chadash. And yeah, the Torah has to bring it back to the regular rules of Karban. But you know what? The Torah did bring it back. And once it's brought back to the regular rules of Karban, so can't we now at least say, well, it's brought back to the regular rules of Karban, which is Shecht in the north, just like an Achatas a Shecht in the north, just like an Asham a Shecht in the north. So once it's brought back, so can't we now say, hey, it's brought back? Which means now that this is going to be your second mention in the Torah in which you're going to have Shechting in the north.
As opposed to what?
Right, in other words...
Elsewhere.
Back when? I mean, once he brought back to become a Chatat again, and that's it.
No, but in other words, but is it right? In other words, it's now repeating itself, and that's essentiality. In other words, that means now it's critical. So Amale Marzucha Bre de Rav Mari La Ravina Ema Kia Hadre Kra Lagabe Mandam in Vimurim de Bai Kahuna. So the Gemara says, look, all right, you know what? I'll go with your argument. I'll agree with you that yes, it's brought back, but brought back for what? Meaning, we now know that the Asham is going to be treated like a chatas and it's going to have the features of a chatas, but maybe not on a full scale basis of every rule, including word of shecht, but maybe on a more limited basis. Like let's say, for example, all the rules that apply to a kohen, like abe matan damin v'imurim debay kahuna, application of the blood, bringing the organs up on the top of the mizbeach, where there a kohen is required. But shchita doesn't require kahuna, and so maybe it doesn't require tzafon. Meaning, and I know I quoted the pasuk already once before, but let me quote the pasuk again. I just want to bolster the Gemara's argument, or not bolster it, but just explain it even better. If you go back to the pasuk that I read earlier, v'shacharas dekeves ma'akam asher yishcharas chatas v'asolah b'makam makosh ki chatas Hashem hu la'kohen. Meaning the Torah actually says it straight out. Meaning it's going to be treated, this Hashem is going to be treated like a chatas vis-a-vis the kohen. And now where the Gemara's argument is that, okay, maybe regarding kohen halachas, it's being reinstated. But in other words, but non-kohen halachas like shechita, and where it needs to be shechted. So what the Gemara now is proposing, the Gemara is making an argument, maybe no. Maybe the Torah is not repeating it for that purpose, and if it's not repeating for that purpose, so once again, we're back to the drawing board. Where's the second mention that the Asham has to be shechted in the north?
Why can't we say it's the special dispensation that we have? Because it says by Chatat and Ola.
All right, so hold on a second. So just give me a moment. Give the Gemara a moment. So by Kahuna, Vashchit, lo by Kahuna, lo, mi by Tzafan, im kei neimakra ki Chatas. Who? Ma ki Chatas ha'asham. Kishar Hashem was Yiyah. So in other words, look, if the whole point of the Torah was just simply to tell me that these were reinstating it back for the halachas of Kohen, the Torah could have just simply sufficed by saying, It is, meaning, because obviously we're talking about the Asham, it is like a chatas. But the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says, kechatas ha-asham. This is going to be like a chatas, meaning, and it's treated like all the other Ashamos. Meaning that what the Torah is doing over here is basically making a general statement. That this is to be treated like all Ashamos. And just like all Ashamos are to be shacht in the north, this too is to be shacht in the north. And so basically what the Gemara says is, count it. Count it now as your second reference to shechting in the north, and that is going to be your second. That's going to be your second mention, and that'll dictate essentiality. Okay, so granted, admittedly, that part of the Gemara was not easy, but to the question of by Karban Hashem is shechting in the north, yes, and in terms of essentiality, yes as well. Where do I see it? I see it once in Parshat Tzav and the other in Parshat Metzorah. And basically, the hurdle that we had to jump over is that Pasuk and Parshas Metzora is there to accomplish another point together, altogether, which is to address the 11th rule of the Yud Gimel Midah Shetor Nidreshet Bahem, to which the Gemara basically says that's correct. And at the same time, however, because it gets reinstated back to a Karban Asham, to a regular Karban Asham, so that also can count now as a second reference to Shechting in the North, and therefore we have it. Okay. Lamali Lekshu Lechatzas, Lamali Lekshu Le'ola. Danny asked this question earlier. The Gemara asks this question. When the Torah deals with the Asher Mitzorah, the Torah says it's treated like a chatzas, it's treated like an ola, meaning in terms of where to be shechted. Good. So, but one of those would be sufficient. You can either compare it to a chatzas, point made, it's shechted in the north, because we know the chatzas is shechted in the north. Or the Torah could have said shechted like where the same place we shechted an ola, point made, it's shechted in the north. Why does it say like a chatzas and like an ola? Now, before I get to the Gemara's answer, so just a quick preface to the rest of today's daf. Tomorrow's daf, Sunday's daf. Okay. Well, the Gemara is about to explore. Okay, so for sure today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Well, the Gemara is about to explore is as follows. We've said this already a number of times, but these are the Gemaras now that are going to be spelling it out. And that is this idea that we're going to learn, in other words, the way that halacha has arrived at is either the Torah says it straight out or the Torah does not say it straight out, but we have rules and regulations in terms of how we learn the Torah, methodology. Right? Yud Gimel Midah Shetor Nidreshes Bahem. We have Kal Vachomer, we have Gzeira Shava, we have Hekesh, and we have others as well. In fact, today alone, we went over one that is more obscure, right? The 11th rule. But in other words, and when learning halacha, so we generally speaking, we jump. We go from Gzeira Shava to Hekesh. We go from one Hekesh to another Hekesh. We sometimes jump Gzeira Shavas, one Gzeira Shava to another Gzeira Shava. So in other words, this idea that we can not only create one limud, but we can actually create a compound limud. So okay, we could do it by molecules. We could do it by limudim as well. Generally speaking, it's fine. As we're going to be learning in the rest of today's daf and tomorrow's daf and Sunday's daf, is that when we deal with kachim, so it's more restricted. Now to the overarching question, which is why is it more restricted when it comes to kachim? I wish I had an answer for you. Meaning it'd be great if I can conceptualize and try to explain to you why it is that we're more restrictive in terms of limud than by kachim than any other area in the Torah. I can guess, but I'd prefer not to. I don't. I'll abstain. But in other words, that's the case though. In other words, we are going to be more restricted in terms of what can and cannot be used as a limud. And in the course of today, tomorrow, and Sunday's daf, we are going to be learning together where there's a restriction, where there isn't a restriction. Obviously, the upcoming Gemaras are going to be technical. I mean, a lot of Gemara is, but that part. But in other words, basically, we're going to be learning a lot of ground rules of where are we restricted in terms of making limudim. Let's say and so let's with that look.
Is there other place except Ektesh?
These restrictions are by Kachim. Okay, so with that in mind, so let's begin. So let's start off with the Gemara. We are now in the middle of Memtes Amud Beis and just finishing up we're going to finish through the two dots. So the Gemara says, why does the Torah compare the Ashram to both a Chatas and to an Ola? So the Gemara is going to give an answer. I'm a Ravina Itzterich. I'll tell you why it's necessary. Because he actually Chatas, v'lo actually Ola. Because let's imagine that the Torah only compared the Ashram to a Chatas and not to an Ola. So hava min chatas meichan lamanda meola. Meaning, how do I know the chatas is shechta in the north? Because we learned it because of the comparison. Let's call that a hekesh. So in other words, chatas is connected to ola. Mukash la ola. So davar lamed behekesh, chozim lamed behekesh. And so here's what would have happened. Meaning, if the Torah only compared the ashram to the chatas, so here we're now going to jump. Ashram to chatas to ola. That's a double jump through hekeshim. And you can't do that. And so, and because you can't do that, that's why the Torah has to go directly to Ola. So that only begs, of course, the next question, which the Gemara is going to ask. Well, then why do you need Chatas? So stay tuned. Amle Marzutra Bered Rav Mari La Ravina V'Nikshe La Ola V'Lo Nikshe La Chatas. So here's the Gemara's question. So let's compare it to Ola, not to Chatas. So Hav Amina Devar Lamed Behekesh Chozim Lamed Behekesh. So the Gemara says, because if the Torah would have done that, then the Torah would have missed making a point. And the Torah wants to make the following point. Meaning, if the Torah would have just simply said Asham's like Ola, I would have said, you know what, I can in principle make a double hekesh. The Torah went directly from Asham to Ola. I'll tell you why. V'chitem anikshe akush lechatas, nichle demakish le'ikav lo nikish le'tafal. Meaning, the fact that the Torah chose to go with Ola as opposed to Chatas, it kind of makes sense. Meaning, would I rather go to the Ikar, which is Ola, because that's where the Torah actually mentions it, as opposed to Chatas, where the Torah doesn't mention it directly, it's only learned by hekesh. So it's tafel. Vis-a-vis the halacha of Tzafon, of Shechting in the north. So what would I prefer? In other words, you would say that the Torah simply prefers the Ikar over the Tafal. So lahachi akshele chatas v'akshele ola, lameim adavar lameim behekesh, einu chozim lameim behekesh. Meaning, so here was what the Torah is doing. The Torah is saying, I have a message to convey to you. And that is as follows. Look, I could have gone just straight to ola, but then I would have missed making a point. I could go only to chatas, but I can't go only to chatas, because to then go from Asham to chatas to ola would be a double jump. And you can't make a double jump. So in other words, what the Torah is telling us is Chatas and Ola. Meaning, I can't do Chatas by itself because that's a double jump and that's restricted. And if I only went to Ola, so then I wouldn't have been able to make the point. The point that you can't make a double jump. By virtue of the fact that the Torah says Chatas and Ola, the Torah is telling us is that, look, I have to mention Ola because you can't make a double jump. And I'll mention Chatas because if I don't mention Chatas, then the Torah has not satisfactorily made the point. The Torah is basically saying, look, I know you can go Ashram Chatas Ola, but that's a double jump. You can't do that. That's why the Torah also communicated Ola to tell us the only way we can learn it is by connecting it directly to Ola. Okay.
The only place we have in Kochim and other place or other things like that.
So, it's funny you mentioned. Rava Amar Mehacha Dechsev. So Rava says, I actually learned the same idea, but generated from a different area. The pasuk says, "Kasher yiram mishor zevach shlamim l'may hilchasa." The Torah, when describing the par of the Kohen Gadol, which we already spent a lot of time discussing earlier in this Masechta, and also in Horios as well, the par of the Kohen Gadol, it says that you know you're going to be taking off the imurim just like you do from zevach shlamim, just from a shlamim. You take off imurim to put on top of the mizbeach. You do the same thing with the par of the Kohen Gadol. So, l'may hilchasa. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. Is it that you're taking the Emor and putting it on top of the Mizbech? You open up to the fourth parak of Vayikra. You'll see the Torah spells it out. So in other words, why is the Torah saying it's just like the Shlamim, meaning the Torah also spells out that these are going to go on the top of the Mizbech? So Mishum Debaik Mor Yoser Sekev Vishtei Klaus Me Parhelam Davishol Sibor. Lisi'ire Avodes Kochavim. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Torah is accomplishing. And this point over here is subtle and it's a little bit complicated, but Rashi spells it out. I'm not going to read the Rashi right now. Just you'll trust me, and better than trust me. You read the Rashi and you'll see in the Rashi basically what we're going to do is we're going to take out that pasuk of Kasher Yiram Mishur Zevach Hashlamim, basically move it one parsha down. The next parsha down is the Par Helm Davashal Tzibor. So we'll take it and we'll move it one parsha down. And so therefore it says, if the Torah explicitly mentions by the Par Helam Davashal Tzibor, that you have to take off the Amorim and put it on the top of the Mizbeach. And now from there, we're going to then jump over to the Seir of Avodah Zarah to make that same point regarding the Seir of Avodah Zarah. Because the Torah says, by the Seir of Avodah Zarah, that you take off the Amorim just like you did by the Par Helam Davashal Tzibor. Okay. And so therefore, what we're doing now is that we are moving a pasuk from the Par Kohen Gadol to the Par Helam Davashal Tzibor, and then comparing it, the Torah compares it to the Seer of Avodah Zarah. Now, Begufe Loksiv, I'm sorry, Helam Davashal Tzibor, the Seer of Avodah Kochavim. Begufe Loksiv, I'm a Par Kohen Mashiach, who the Gamar, Lahachi Yitzrich Kasher Yoram. The Nahavi command the Kasa Begufe. It's as if to say now, it's explicitly mentioned the Par Helam Davashal Tzibor. Because if it were not explicitly mentioned in Par Helam Davashal Tzibor, so how would we arrived at this conclusion? In other words, we would have jumped from Par Kohen Gadol to Par Helam Davashal Tzibor, that's A to B, and then from Par Helam Davashal Tzibor to the Seerim of Avodah Zarah, that's B to C, and so we would have made a double jump, a double heckish jump. And once again, we're restricted. Because we're restricted in doing so, that's why the Torah gives an additional pasuk. Now, the complicated part is that the additional pasuk is not written in Par Helam Davashal.
We're cheating.
Okay. Where the pasuk is not written. The pasuk is not written in Par Helam Davashal Tzibor, but the pasuk is written in Par Kohen Gadol, but because it's extraneous, we're moving it down. I'm acknowledging that that part's a little bit tricky. But once you accept that point, so now it's ki'ilu, the Gemara says, it's kemande kasa begufe, v'lo hanaheve davar lamed behekesh, chozer malamed behekesh. And the reason why the Torah did that is because otherwise the only way we would arrive at the halacha is by jumping two times, and you can't jump two times when it comes to kachim. Amalei Rav Papa, just give me a moment. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava v'lichtefei begufei v'lo nakish. The Gemara says, well, why doesn't it just simply say straight out in Par Helam Davashal Tzibor? Why do we have to go through a somewhat convoluted manner to get to this point? So, ikas begufei v'lo akish ava mina davar lamed behekesh chozer malamed behekesh. And again, the answer is going to be because then it doesn't become a teaching point. Meaning, if the Torah would have just simply spelled it out by Par Helam Davar, and we just made a hekesh, so then I wouldn't have learned, oh, but a double hekesh, maybe it's acceptable. I mean, the Torah doesn't say one way or another. It just happens to be that it says it straight out. By virtue of the fact that we have to go in this somewhat convoluted manner, it's a teaching point of the Torah. It's the Torah now telling us, look, I know it's a little bit convoluted, but that's exactly it. It's convoluted so that we can all learn together that the double jump is restricted. We can't make a double jump. And therefore, reminder that I'll stick an extra pasuk in Par Kohen Gadol. I'll bring it down to Par Helam Davashal Tzibor because it's extraneous, and that's the only way we can jump from one to the other. V'chitem anikshe akushe. So nichalei dekseiva begufe midakish le akushe lahachi kasve v'akshe lememra davar halam behekish and chozer malam behekish. And the Gemara says exactly that, meaning the whole reason why we're doing this is to teach us. It becomes a teaching moment of the Torah that we can't make a double jump, a double hekesh, as it relates to kashim. So therefore, we end off today with a point of a double hekesh by kachim is restricted, you can't do it, and you can either learn it from two places. Either you learn it from Ravina, who says that the essentiality of the ashim is learned because the Torah compares it to both Ola and Techatzis. Why comparing it to both? Because if it only compared it to Chatzis, so then that would have came about through a double jump, and you're not allowed to make a double jump. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is we learn from Rava, who Rava learns it out from the Imurim of the Chatzis HaPnimios, where the Torah mentions it by Par Helam Davashal Tzibor, admittedly not straightforward, but the Torah mentions it by Par Helam Davashal Tzibor, moving to the Seerim of Avodah Zarah, and the reason why we can't just simply jump from Seer Avodah Zarah to Par Helam Davashal Tzibor to Par Kohen Gadol is because that would be a double jump, and that's restricted. Okay, so that's a starting point. Tomorrow we continue in the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to go through an entire host of different permutations. Right, I think the Gemara is going to cover every single permutation. So far, all we covered is one, a compound hekesh. which you can't do by kachin. And what we'll see over the course of tomorrow's daf and Sunday's daf is all the other permutations.